This is Generation Swap. While the world talks about a generation gap,
we talk about generational connection. Our guests, we call them swap mates, discuss goals, passions, and values, helping each other figure out life.
Keep listening for more. Hello and welcome. I'm Gary Eberle, Professor Emeritus of English at Aquinas College, and I am your host today for this podcast featuring swap mates Carson LePage and Tom Miller. Generation Swap is an intergenerational learning program at Aquinas College in which we pair traditional-aged Aquinas College students and students from the college's Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, or OLLI. OLLI students are aged 55 and older, with an average age of around 73, and the younger students are ages 20 to 22 or so. This year, we've been exploring how relationships can develop between and across generations. Each month, all of our SwapMates participants would meet as a larger group to discuss general topics of interest, and then each set of partners would also meet at least once between the group meetings to talk about or do anything they pleased. We hope to learn some things in the process about communication, relationships, and especially about relationships between the generations. Today we'll hear from Carson LePage and Tom Miller, who've been meeting together for the past 9 months, both individually and with our whole group of swap mates. Carson and Tom, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Yes, thanks, Gary.
And let's start with a few facts about yourselves, including your ages. Introduce your voices and your age.
Well, my name's Carson LePage, and I am 21 years old. I'm currently a junior at Aquinas College, and I'm studying theater and communication.
Okay. Tom?
And I'm Tom Miller. I'm 71 years old. I'm a retired lawyer. I've been going to OLLI classes and participating in OLLI for about the past 4 years, and it's been a pleasure.
Lifelong learning experience, yes. I hope.
And yeah. I'm still learning.
We all are. Even those of us who are teaching are constantly learning.
Right.
So last fall, we began our Getting to Know You experiment with some icebreakers at which we all met each other for the very first time. You were paired together partly on the basis of your interests and then counselors who knew you, and we knew Tom and some of the OLLI people, and we thought you might make a good match. But at the time you first met, do you remember your first impressions of each other?
I remember our first impressions. We ate at Weggie together, and I was just kind of getting to know Tom and his background and what he did in life. So then I could kind of share my story and mm-hmm. say, you know, this is what I've been through, and hopefully we can connect and be on the same page. And we had some icebreakers, and I asked him some questions like, since I learned he was a retired lawyer, I was like, so have you won all your cases? And he's like, I'll win some, lose some. And I'm like, oh, so I connected off of that because my brother's friend's dad is a lawyer.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, nice. Like, that's cool. I know somebody that's a lawyer too. So.
And you win some and lose some in every area of life, I think. And Tom, you met Carson.
Met Carson. It was at Weggie. We were mm-hmm. eating lunch. And as I recall, it was easy to talk to him. I think we quickly came into having conversations with each other. We talked a little bit about my background. We talked about Carson, where he was in school, and what his interests and career goals were. And things just kind of went from there.
That's good. So one of our objects was to deal with this, I mean, literally 50-year gap between your ages and get folks talking to each other. Part of that involves stereotypes about older people, younger people, and then moving beyond first impressions. What surprised you about each other, if anything?
I'd love to hear Tom answers about this.
One thing that surprised me is I looked at Carson and I said, geez, 50 years ago, I was a lot like him. You know, I was in college. I was studying a lot. I was thinking, okay, this is what I think I want to do when I get out of school. A lot of kind of internal questions about, will I be able to do it? How successful will I be? And having come from, Carson has come from a community in the eastern side of the state. I think coming to Grand Rapids and Aquinas was his first big venture outside of his home community. When I went to school, it was the same thing. Grew up in Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, where I went to Western Michigan University. First big experience out of school. I just saw a reflection of where I was 50 years ago that I didn't really expect to see.
Okay, good. I was thinking this morning, too, and we'll come back to this later, but both of you, because of your ages, are in major life transition periods. Tom retiring from a busy career, Carson busy as a student heading out into a career, he hopes, in a year or so. Tell me what surprised you about Tom as you got to know him.
Well, as I got to know Tom, I went in with the mindset of just having an open mind and just really getting to know like his life experience and stuff. So one thing that really surprised me was how calm he was. I mean, some other people can, you know, really be like, oh, this and this, like this happened in my life. But Tom was really calm when he spoke about his past and everything. And he really changed my mind in a way. And just saying, you know, take one step at a time and just get one thing done at a time. And, you know, I really took that into consideration with my life right now because of how busy I am. So reflecting off of Tom's life and his views on things, I really, you know, took that into heart, and that has changed a lot.
It changed your perspective, your point of view on...
It changed my perspective and point of view on college and, like, classes and life in general of, like, no matter how busy you are, like, that you can't let that affect your personal life. Like, with, like, my classes, with theater, with, you know, jobs, with lifting, like, all this stuff that I have going on can't let it affect my family and friends and relationships.
So learning to prioritize, learning values.
Mm-hmm.
Did you absorb any of what you said was Tom's calm? Now, he appears calm. I don't know if he is calm. That's two different things. But did gaining that perspective help you kind of find a center for yourself?
Yeah, it really helped.
Okay. And Tom, as you got to know Carson, did you learn things about not just him, but also his generation that... You've already talked about some similar things of this natural life passage of leaving home and going off to a university or someplace. Anything that struck you as different or unique that his generation would experience?
Well, I'm not sure if it's completely generational, but Carson is... I have traveled quite a bit in my life. But when I was his age, Carson's age, I had not traveled that much, and I think I maybe had forgotten about that. And I've always, after you travel a lot, I think you kind of assume everybody else is. Then you realize maybe not everyone else is, especially younger people who, you know, they're growing up, they're getting through high school, they're getting into college, and they just haven't had the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
So that was one thing.
Or if they have, maybe they've gone with parents to some place on vacation or whatever. Yeah. But so you're Carson. Where are you from on the east side?
I'm from Durand, Michigan, which is by Flint. It's just 10 minutes west of Flint.
In a smallish town.
Smallish town, yeah. But the city's known for the two railroad tracks crossing to Chicago and Detroit.
Yeah.
So not. A lot of people know that. So.
Railroad City or something.
Railroad City, yeah. Durand Railroaders is what we are.
Oh, okay. Were there any shocks moving to a city the size of Grand Rapids, which is medium to large?
Yeah, well, my brother graduated from Aquinas, so I came over here a lot because he played basketball, so we'd come watch him and stuff, and we didn't really go in the city, but we just traveled around. So it really was a shock at first coming over here when I was little. But coming over here and moving in and actually being in the city, it didn't shock me as much because I was kind of already familiar with the place.
Yeah,
but Like for spring break, we went to Washington, D.C. Now that was a different perspective of like, that was big. Like the amount of people, I thought Grand Rapids was big, but like, yeah, it was a lot of people every day. Mm-hmm.
And I forgot because I grew up in a large city and then lived in Detroit for many years before coming here, how students from towns like Durand had never taken a city bus, for example, or done that normal big city stuff and did find it intimidating.
Yep. So, yeah, just like, well, even like driving, like we're going like 55 miles per hour on the roads. Like that's how fast we're going. But like you get on the expressway in a big city like this, I mean, as soon as you get off, you're getting off. Like you get on, you get off, you get off, you get on. Like, it's just that transition of like you're going like 70 and then you got to slow down and then you go fast again. And, you know, being quick on the pedal and the steering wheel, it was a bit of a culture shock for me. The driving was difficult, but I'm kind of used to it now.
College life is largely future oriented. And, you know, you're ready to get out the door and start your adult life. Tom, what was that like for you at Western Michigan when you were getting ready to go? Did you have a clear life plan?
Well, after I graduated from Western, my immediate plan was to go to law school. And so that took care of the next 3 years. And I went to Pennsylvania to go to law school. And I wasn't quite sure where I was going after that, but... as it turned out, I stayed in Pennsylvania for a period of time, and then I came back to Grand Rapids. And I have to say that I had probably a vaguer idea of what my future was going to be than maybe other people. On the other hand, that may not be that unusual. You know, people have a sense of where their next step is, and maybe if they're lucky, the next two or three steps. I had just one step in my future, and I wasn't sure what was going on beyond that. And I think a lot of people are like that. They're looking for that first big job out of school, and they get into that, and then maybe they go somewhere else after that. But if you ask them earlier, where are you going, they don't have that view of their future that extends too far out. And that certainly was me.
And law school is a definite, clear step. The creative fields that Carson is in, I'm convinced there's an end, but there's no way. I mean, there's no clear way.
Yeah.
So you go to law school, you become an attorney. You set out to move into a creative field like theater, performance, whatever. There is no clear way. Were you two able to talk about something like that? I don't mean that your path was easy, Tom. I just mean that you knew I want to do this.
Right. Well, I think there are, we had a few discussions about one. I know Carson's primary goal sounds like acting, but there are other things too. Maybe becoming a director or a producer, somebody working behind the scenes, or I know we had one conversation about a plan B. You know, if this doesn't work out, you know, what's your plan B? And I'll let Carson addressed that too.
Yeah, yeah. Had you thought of a plan B?
Yeah, so like Tom was saying, like I had to think of a plan B and maybe even a plan C or D, like if plan B doesn't even work out. So, you know, when I first met Tom, you know, reflecting back of like, that was like my plan, just to go into acting. But as we got to know each other and talk more, it was like, okay, well, what if that doesn't work out, what's the plan after? Like, you know, maybe I go back to being an electrician, or maybe I stick with pickleball and work as a member specialist. You know, there's always a way. Like, there's it's not going to be an end if plan A doesn't work.
Right. So one of the things you would learn in a creative field is improvisation. Yeah. And a lot of us end up doing that. You know, you turn your hand to something, find out you can do it, and you continue doing it. And so it's less straightforward than certain other fields. So one of the issues we talked about in the early part of our year was work-life balance.
Yeah.
And not making your vocation, your work, your entire identity did you have a chance or any memories of that discussion? Chance to talk about that?
Yeah, we talked a little bit at lunch one day about work-life balance, just about how, you know, going into my field that I'm in, you know, it's all about, you know, audition, you know, go in and just keep going and keep going. But, you know, having that balance in life and having that free time to yourself too, of just taking a step back from that acting and from, you know, that auditioning, just have time to yourself and maybe, you know, maybe do an improv show, you know, maybe stick with the performance and the creative stuff, but not full in my work. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So just, we had one conversation, but we didn't have a lot of time talking about it, but we had a little discussion.
Okay.
About it.
So it opened a door for some discussion.
Yeah.
Work-life balance and values. And the other thing that we discussed later on in the year was community engagement. And Tom, I know you've done quite a bit of board service on nonprofit boards. And Carson, at this point in your career, you probably have done less, but it's important to engage with a community. What are your thoughts on that?
On the community aspect, after we three talked about that before, of that, you know, engaging that community, and that's when I actually went out of my way and I was, you know, trying to find a job, and then I found that pickleball job, that member specialist. And at that point, I've really engaged in that community. I mean, I've met a lot of different people. I play with different people every day. And that's actually helped me mentally just kind of like be like, whoa, like that, this is different, but in a good way, like a positive way. And just kind of, I went home and I was like, wait a minute, we talked about this. Like, we talked about this engaging in the community. And I think that's a real good start for me.
And it always amazes me how much games and hobbies influence your later social life and even professional life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a cliche, but golf, for example, in a lot of business contexts, becomes an important method of networking. And you're getting a taste of that with pickleball, so that it's enjoyable, but also valuable in another sense. Did you have anything like that, Tom?
Being a lawyer, you spend a heck of a lot of time just being a lawyer, and the opportunities for other activities, you have to really work at those. But you do find opportunities, whether it's on the golf course or some other activity, tennis. Mm-hmm. Some period of time when I played tennis just in a league, just to balance things out. And then if you get married and have a family, that's a whole other area where that can provide you with a lot of balance to your career and a lot of reward too, in just engaging in time with your family, spending time being an active parent, being, you know, spending time with your spouse. It can provide that balance that offsets the demands of a career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it allows you to develop a fuller self. I remember I had, about 7 years ago, some heart trouble, and it turned out, by coincidence, that both cardiologists that saw me as I was getting ready for surgery had been coaches in my son's little league. So, you know, I knew them from the community, and now they were getting to know me inside and out. Did you find that your perceptions of old people or young people altered in the course of the year, as you got not just to know each other, but also the whole group, as we met in those large group meetings, that if you were able to attend those?
Well, I'll speak first. I have a son who's a little bit older than Carson. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, I think I have an understanding of what that generation is going through, both my son's generation, which is the millennials, and Carson's, which is, I think, now the generation that comes after millennials. I can't recall what the name of that is.
Post-millennial.
But in many ways, I see Carson and my son similarly, and for that reason, I won't say that I'm surprised a lot, but I think there's a lot of similarity, if you will.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, for me, growing up, I didn't spend a lot of time with people my age at school. You know, I played sports with people my age, and I saw people in school, but I never hung out with them outside of school. And every day, usually, I hung out with, like, my grandma, my grandpa, and usually, like, my parents and my brothers. So growing up, I know the aspect of, you know, what my grandma went through, what my grandpa went through. And my grandpa, on my mom's side, sadly passed away in 2019, but... seeing her, you know, go on without him and how she has been growing and stuff has just been awesome. Mm-hmm. But also being with her, like, almost every day of the summer, I can see her perspective on life and how she grew up and, you know, the generation that of her with her friends. And, like, they play cards. Like, they go out for lunches on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, who does that? Like, in my generation, like, who goes out for lunches on Tuesday mornings, like...
Stay up all night playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah. People like in my generation, they're playing games and they're doing all types of stuff. But yeah. I hung out with my grandma one summer, and I mean, every Tuesday we would go sit at this, you know, breakfast, and they would have breakfast, talk about old times, and we'd be playing cards.
So you've had a pretty rich cross-generational experience through your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been nice. It's something I don't regret, but it was good times that I can remember.
Sure.
And I know how to, let's just say, treat the more...
How to relate, yeah, and we don't, so that we don't look at each other's generation as some alien species.
No, which no,
I think
yeah.
can happen a lot.
Yeah, I know. Some people just that love that more older generation, and then some people are like, I don't spend enough time. And then I kind of encourage those people, like, you should spend some more time in, like, the older generation, because... you learn so many new things.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, it's fun, creative. And I always push to, like, you know, go play cards. Like, they always love playing cards. Like, I love playing cards.
Socialize.
Yeah, socialize. Yeah, hang on. Get your head out of the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, as we wrap up this year's experiment, and, you know, as I said at the beginning, we have no measurable outcomes. It was just to sort of see what would happen. And if you had to reflect on this experience and looking forward to future years, future generation swap, is this an experiment that should continue for students and OLLI students?
Yeah, I 100% agree on moving forward. I think this is a great experience to get to know someone that's a little older and has more life experience and, you know, can reflect on their life. And can give some, you know, say like, oh, I've went through this and this, and, you know, they know how we're feeling if, you know, they went to college or something, so.
And I'd like to, I view this as a win-win-win-win situation. It's a win for the students, it's a win for the people of my generation participating. I think it's a win for OLLI and for Aquinas, and I think it's a win for people that we come into contact with, and you know, that have, we can say we've had this experience of reaching out further than maybe our immediate circles, and so I see a lot of good coming from this.
Well, good. That is a good note to end on today. Thank you both for participating in this all year, and I'm glad to hear the results. It sounds like you two moved beyond the sort of old person is the mentor, young person is the one who's learning all the time, and you had a very good, mutually instructive period for this past year. Thank you both, and tune in for future episodes of Generation Swap.
Generation Swap is a production of the Aquinas College Advantage Center. You can find our show wherever you get your podcasts or at generationswap.com. Our career and connections expert is Dr. Dana Hebriard. Our producer is John Griffin. I'm Cindy Camp, Generation Swap creator. Thank you for spending time with us today. We're looking forward to swapping stories with you again soon.